Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen, and joining me for this segment, we welcome back State Representative Scott D'Ayenda to the program. Scott, welcome back.
Good morning, Rick. Thank you for having me back.
You're back on a little bit of a Thanksgiving break, so it's good that you get to spend some time with your family, at least. I know that you got a lot of other things going on while you're here, though.
Yeah, we're definitely going to enjoy having a Thanksgiving with family and friends, and always look forward to that. And it looks like we're going to have some white stuff on the ground, so it'll make it look like a good Thanksgiving again, too.
Now, the legislature's on a short break. When do you return back?
We're going to be returning back December 1st, and I have a lot of things in the district that's going to be happening in the seven counties. So we have multiple meetings with the locals, school districts. I got some meetings set up with some business folks here. Just trying to make the round through the seven counties. That's what I always do, is when I'm on any type of legislative break, my priority is to get home, see what's happening in my district, make sure that there's things that if we can take care of in Lansing when I make my trip back, that we get them done for people.
Oh, definitely appreciate you making time for coming on this program again. It hasn't been that long since we last spoke, but my gosh, it seems like sure a lot has happened since we had.
It's been a lot of things that have taken place. You know, 2 weeks ago, we came up with a discussion on the road package. That was the one of the biggest things that has happened in the last 3 months.
Well, let's start with that, since that is, you know, such a huge thing. It affects everybody. Let's get a breakdown. You know, what is this final law?
Well, what it means to the people of Michigan is that we're looking at a $1.2 billion package. $600 million is going to come from direct cuts to state agencies throughout the general fund budget. The other amount is going to be made up with raising of the sales tax on the gasoline, and the diesel tax is going to go up along with the registration is going to go up in Michigan for $200 million. And this was something that I just could not support on this vote. I was to the point where, you know, just going around the seven counties and talking to folks, I mean, we just have a very hard time to be able to come up with any more dollars out of people's personal budgets. And we start looking at registration fees. I mean, we got people on average up here, we got 8 to 10 year old vehicles. We're going to be looking at, you know, $20 to $30 increases on these registrations. You know, for the people out there that remember what the weight was on registrations before, now it's on value. The value never goes down. I mean, we're looking at paying for these license plates and that are, you know, you got a 10-year-old vehicle, we're still paying $150, $160 for a plate a year. I mean, our people are just having a hard time to be able to overcome the cost increases constantly. And I truly believe that we could have came up with some different funding solutions for this. I've been saying from day one when I was elected that we got to start downsizing the overhead. I mean, the Department of Transportation is a $3.8 billion budget. Now we're going to give them another $1.2 billion. So this is one of the biggest departments that we have in the state of Michigan. And I think that it's time to make sure that, you know, in having any type of discussion about future funding, that we got to look at restructuring. I think that should have been part of the decision down there, and it was not. So I'm very disappointed in that we didn't have that discussion to be able to get the locals and the counties more money first. And the other part with the road funding that, you know, I find that a lot of people are going to start to see is that every increase is going to be on everything that we touch. All our goods and services are going to have an increase because of that diesel tax. So I'm very concerned about what it's going to do to our economy and the cost that it's going to put on our residents and also our small businesses. I mean, we're going to have delivery costs that are going to be increasing for deliveries.
Now, voters earlier in the year rejected a package that would have passed most of those costs directly on to motorists. That was soundly defeated by the voters, so it went back to the legislature. Now, the word we're hearing is, you know, it's not great, but this was the best they can come up with. Do you agree with that?
I don't agree with that at all. I think that we could have came up with something better, and I think time would have looked at this in a different light. I think that we could have, number one, came up with a solution for downsizing the state of Michigan Department of Transportation. I think that, you know, a lot of people see that government is very archaic in some of their decisions and how we do things. I think all of those things could have been done first, and it's come up with a dollar amount that what we could have saved and then started working back. Because my fear is that we have a situation now where we're going to have to make $600 million worth of cuts. Those cuts are going to have to come out of our general revenue budget. And we're looking at everything from, like, you know, community action. This is a question to me, is that these are unidentified cuts. Where are they going to come from? And nobody yet has came up with that solution of where this is coming from. So that is the $600 million question to me of where we're going to make these cuts. So that's the big part that I see, the unknown.
Now, if I have $1,000 in my household budget and somebody tells me that they're going to take $600 from that, you know, and I start looking at, well, where am I going to not spend the money in my home? You know, you start coming up with some pretty frightening ideas. Who is going to take the blunt of these cuts? Will it be the city of Detroit? Will it be Lansing? Or will it be smaller communities like the UP?
We do not at this time even know where these cuts are going to come from. They're unidentified cuts. I think that, you know, that's what we'll probably get back into in December. I just want people to understand, too, because of this $1.2 billion increase that's coming, don't look for this to be done and these roads to be fixed next year. You know, the bulk of that money is going to go to pay off debt. So we're going to see only about $480 million be put towards the roads next year. So this is not a short-term solution that's going to be done where you're going to see construction next year. I mean, it's going to ramp up, and it's going to take to get up to 2018 before we're really going to see any construction going on. So this is the other part. I think that, you know, the public's going to be really disappointed to think that, you know, we're paying all this extra money for the gas and the diesel. We paid extra money for the registration. And end of the day, what are we seeing for it? And I think that's going to be a very bad thing out there for public view.
I've mentioned this, I think, the last time we talked, but 5 years from now, God help the legislature that comes out and says we need to have a road funding package. Because after after we started dealing with this and paying these costs, this had better fix the roads at some point. They're saying 2021 will be fully funded, and until then we're not going to see a lot of action. But you know, this had better work. I guess it's a lot of people's political careers and reputations are hanging on this. Whoever voted for it,
right? Yes, this was mostly based on a straight party vote. You know, our caucus, the Democratic caucus, would not go along with this vote because of the unidentified $600 million cuts were out of general fund. You know, there was a lot of folks like me with my mindset that just, you know, we got to take a look at how much we're spending $3.8 billion, and that wasn't in the discussion. So that's why, you know, we could not get any of our caucus to go along with this. And it was pretty much, you know, a straight Republican vote on doing this tax increase. And I really want to be able to, you know, come up with a better solution to this, because what's going to happen, this is tied to inflation. This tax increase is going to be tied to inflation. And unless the new legislators that come in there in 2018, 2020, 2022, they're going to have to adjust that if they want to change this, to downsize it. And the problem that I see being in Lansing is memories are very short. Historical memories is almost non-existent. So anytime we do legislation where you think that you're going to have the next group come in, they forget where the bathroom is the second day. So I think we're going to have a hard time figuring out what happened in 2016 when this vote was taken. And I just want to say, too, I think that the people really spoke very clearly at 80% said, no, we do not want this to go through. So I'm very disappointed in how this came about this last week, especially the fact that, you know, they kind of keep us in lockdown until they get the votes. That to me is just unbelievable how, you know, they want to sit on the floor for 14 hours and, you know, we're trying to make the best decisions for Michigan and we're sitting there at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it's insanity. Nobody ever operates like that in business or in a private sector or anybody that's running a small business. You're not making decisions after you've been up for 18 hours for things that are going to go ahead for a long time.
That's correct. One of the things that you had mentioned was about the Michigan Department of Transportation, and you've been calling for accountability and changes even going up to the top of that department. Have you seen any traction with that?
Well, I wrote a resolution here 3 weeks ago because after a committee meeting, I had the Department of Transportation, Kurt Steidel, came to our transportation meeting, and he told us that they saved $2,000 at the St. Ignace garage by moving the oil changes on the snowplow trucks, and they're going to save $50,000 a year across the state because of that action. Well, I think for me that was the last straw. We have pointed out $25 million worth of boondoggles that the Department of Transportation has made. They planted landscaping on 696 in the Detroit metro area 2 years ago. That all died. Now what has happened is they covered it with mulch. I mean, they spent another, I think it was $9.5 million to cover dead landscaping after the landscaping died. I mean, these are the decisions that I find that are totally a disgrace to our state and our taxpayers. And that's why I wrote a resolution and I asked for him to step down. And I had that sent on the House floor and it got referred to local government. So I'm asking the chairman of local government to provide us with a hearing so we can have these discussions on government. Because I think that that's part of it. I think that's part of the fact that when we have things going on across the state where we could take and seriously save taxpayers' money and put on the road surfaces and the bridges, I think that's the best thing. I think that is what the people of Michigan want, and I think that that's part of our responsibility as legislators to say we have to have legislative oversight of these state agencies because this is what's going on, and it's unacceptable.
So last note on the road funding package, I need to fill up my tank of gas. How much my tank in my car, how much time do I got before those gas prices go up?
Well, you're going to see those gas prices go up the first of the year. And I think that people better plan for it. I think that, you know, and I'm telling people, if we're going to have an increase of 13 to 14% between your registration and your gas usage, I think people are going to start making some decisions about their traveling. And I tell you, I think that a lot of people, I'm encouraging them to do a lot of carpooling because it is going to take effect on our local communities. It's going to take effect on our local budgets because I don't care how much money you have. I don't care where a person's working. You only have an X amount. We're all on a fixed income.
So while all of this was going on, so very much under the radar, was another huge bill that was being discussed and, you know, very well will affect us just as much as the road funding package, and that was the energy bill. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. I sit on the energy committee also, and this was a bill package that came out last week. There was three bills, and the three bills were pretty much two on the energy in Michigan, and the other bill, 4575, was a bill that was for a transmission bill. Now, the two energy bills was what's crafting the energy policy in Michigan. And I think that a lot of people out there, you know, because of the roads, took all of the press. The energy didn't get that much spotlight on it. But the discussion is that, you know, this is more, these bills are pretty much crafted for big energy producers in lower Michigan, consumers and DTE. These bills were pretty much created for them to give them more of an outreach across the state of Michigan, in my opinion. I feel that these bills also wanted to eliminate the choice issue, and I think that, you know, the choice out there has helped a lot of small business. It's helped our local areas a lot. There's people with the choice that are on choice because they can pick where they buy their power from. 10% of Michigan has that opportunity, and in our area, we have like Aspirus Keweenaw Hospital has choice up in Calumet, CLK Electronics has choice. These are businesses and hospitals that are being able to purchase power on a separate agreement and they can shop around for power. That's the choice issue. So this did not expand choice. It did not do what a lot of us wanted because I think that a lot of people on the energy were very disappointed in the way these bills were created because more choice and more competitiveness across Michigan is a great thing. We all know that. We know the more that we have competitive bidding and competitive markets, it's better for the consumer. And the other bill that was, I felt very bad that I voted against all three of these bills, 4575 was a transmission bill. This transmission bill was a bill that's estimated to cost $800 to $1 billion to be able to connect the lower peninsula with Michigan's upper peninsula, to be able to come across the straits and bring power from lower Michigan to upper Michigan. And that's the kind of the back of the envelope. We don't have a dollar amount on that bill. The problem that I really foresee with that is the fact that, you know, if we're not going to generate power in the UP and put our people to work and take a look across Michigan and come up with an energy plan that's going to make sense for everybody, up in the UP we have an abundance of wood. We got a lot of wood chips that we can make power with. If you're in lower Michigan, they got an abundance of natural gas or on the Midland area. Grand Rapids is burning refuge from the city of Grand Rapids. They create steam. They create electricity. We also have a lot of agriculture in West Michigan where they could do biomass, where they could burn the tops of carrots. I mean, this is just unfathomable to be able to want to put all of our eggs in one basket and just think that we're going to depend on one fuel source. So I think that's, you know, where I'm going with it, and the discussion that I'm having with all of my colleagues is that, you know, this is going to come out to the House floor. We're going to have to vote on it and send it to the Senate, and then they're going to tweak it. But, you know, when we start looking at eliminating choice, we start looking at transmitting all of our power from downstate to upper Michigan, and we're not looking at what it's going to cost to build single plants across upper Michigan, which, you know, the estimates on that is $300 to $400 million. We got a prime example of what has happened in the city of Marquette. 2 weeks ago, the Board of Water and Light has decided, along with the city, to build a generation facility. And that generation facility is going to be in Marquette, and that is about a $70 million investment. And that's going to take care of their needs over there. Their power cost is about 11 cents a kilowatt. It's going to go up to about 14 cents a kilowatt. Currently, if you live in Houghton County, we're paying about 24 cents a kilowatt. So they are taking a look at what their needs are in the future for reliable and abundant power, and they're going down that path. And I can see that that was done before we passed an energy program. So to look at stirring energy in upper Michigan and putting people to work, that's a great thing, and have an investment. So I think that that's going to be front and center when we start having the discussion on the House floor. And I think there's going to be more amendments that are going to be brought up, because I am also going to bring up amendments to say, you know, we should really take a look at what's in our backyard. We should come up with a 30, 40-year solution to our energy, because energy and the technology has changed between the hydro, the wind, the solar. You know, there's a lot of different talks on smaller nuclear sites that can be done for generation. We've got geothermal in Houghton County around here. I keep always talking about what Michigan Tech is doing with the Kivena Research Center with baseload, the solar panels. They're using geothermal to heat that entire building at the airport. I mean, if we have these discussions, Rick, and we look at what has happened in the last 30 years, my grandfather, when we watched Star Trek, that program we all remember, when they had these little handheld devices in their hand, my grandfather would tell me, boy, that is really so far off. 30 years later, look what we got in our pocket. So the technology and the changes, you know, I think it's going to come faster and faster, like it did in the last 100 years with the technology and how things have changed. I mean, you know, I want to make sure that we're doing stuff right and we get the best price for the consumer, because if we're going to be looking at doing a transmission from lower Michigan to upper Michigan, that would be $1.50 to $2 a month on everybody's bill, not just in the UP for our 360,000 residents. This would be 9.5 million people in Michigan would pay for that system. So, I mean, those are the things that we got to take a look at, because we just can't afford to keep doling out of our little budgets that we're all operating on.
So the big winners in that legislation, would that be consumers and DTE? They sort of, they're like the insurance companies with the healthcare bills. Like
yes. Unfortunately, it is.
They get the entire territory of the UP remove the choice. So benefits them.
And I just definitely, you know, there's just so many people that got great ideas of how to produce power, you know, and I think that, you know, we look at, again, Marquette Board of Water and Light. They're doing it. They came up with these Westla systems that are manufactured in Finland that are going to be brought in, and these systems can be added to. So it's not like you're building a major power plant. They run on natural gas or their biofuel, so they can be ran on other fuel systems like diesel fuel. And these systems can be added one at a time, like building a Lincoln log home. I mean, you put one like a Lego, and then you can use this. They're putting three of these systems in that they're going to power because they're going to have an abundancy of good, reliable power with that. And it's just, maybe that's the way that we should start looking at things, is to, you know, instead of building these monstrosities like transmission and these big plants, we should kind of start looking at what's our need, what's our reduction, because I think that that's going to be a big part that's going to happen in the future. Everybody only has so much income, so it doesn't matter if we're talking about gasoline in our cars or energy from our houses. We're going to start taking a look and saying, I only got so many dollars, I'm going to have to reduce on what I'm spending. And I think that's a big part of it, Rick, what's going to happen in the future.
Another thing that's been talked about in Lansing is the third grade reading requirement. And, you know, on the surface, it sounds almost common sense good. Well, yeah, well, if kids can't read, then, my gosh, let's make sure they read before they pass on. But there are two sides to this, and there's some concerns about it. Can you talk about it?
Sure. You know, this was something that got passed out of the House, and it's over in the Senate right now. And the senators are taking a better approach to this, too, because, you know, it sounds great in principle. Nobody wants to see any child go beyond a certain point in their life that can't read. You know, we are so fortunate up here to have 23 school districts in the 110th district, and their numbers are phenomenal for what they're turning out for our students and where they're at for their placements. They're higher than some of the states in the Midwest. And I think that that just goes to show what happens when you have a good local control of your school district. Because when you have the parents, the teachers, the superintendents, and everybody working together to identify children at a young age in the school, in the classroom, I think we cannot legislate that ever. I think that, you know, that's something that can be done locally. And through this bill with a third grade retention, they had put in $100 million. But when you look at $100 million, everybody thinks, well, that's a lot of money to try to combat this problem. That we have 2,800 schools across our 83 counties. So when we look at spreading that money around, that's like $35,000 per student or per school system. So I think that, you know, if we are going to look at anything, we got to look at how we're doing it locally. I think that up here, we are very successful on what we're doing right. And I think there are areas of the state, the Detroit metro area, they have very much challenges with the reading process down there that needs to get a lot better. I think that, again, we need to be able to share our successes that we're having in all other parts of the state, just like up here, and we got to help those folks down there. But sometimes just throwing money at things are not going to make anything better for the kids. No, and we can't legislate good parenting. I can't say enough about that. I mean, you know, I see it with, I got 23 nieces and nephews. I only got 40 some great nieces and nephews now, and they're all wonderful children, and I love them all. And the fact is that I see that the ones are very successful friends that have children. They take the time and they read with the children. They bring the kids to the library. They turn off the TV. They turn off the electronic stuff. You know, there's that interaction, and I think that, you know, you never can legislate that. That has to be done on a local level with good parents, good school districts, and teachers. Like, we have wonderful teachers out there to promote reading, and our librarians. And I mean, I think that's where we got to go with it.
Got a couple minutes left here, and I do want to be able to touch on the straight party voting decisions being made, because it's almost in the dead of night. Mm-hmm. We're going to find out, you know, come the morning, we're going to find out that you can't just check Republican or check Democrat and vote straight party on a ticket if this all goes through.
Yes, this was something that was started on the Senate side. We haven't seen it on the House side, but the people of Michigan spoke on this issue twice. They have spoken very clearly that they want to be able to have straight party voting. I mean, if you're a Democrat or Republican, it's just pretty nice to be able to go in and check the box and where you're not filling out every square. And I'm very disappointed that the Senate passed that, and it's going to come to the House. But what has happened is with that legislation, they put $1 million placeholder on it. So they want to make this referendum proof. So if we want to be able to come up with a ballot initiative, if the people of Michigan want to come up and say, no, that's not what we want, they cannot do it because there's a placeholder on there that makes it referendum proof for $1 million. So that to me is just, you know, goes against the very grain of what we want as citizens. And you know, it's unfortunate we have a lot of people that just want to continue down this path, whether it's, you know, the Proposal 1 with the gas tax issue, whether it's this, you know, voters' rights. I mean, we're going to have a lot of people out there that I think are really paying attention to this, Rick, and they're very upset.
Well, it's county clerks are against the legislation, just like, you know, the other educators that I've talked to in this area are against the third grade reading requirement bill. So it's people in Lansing making a decision that is almost, it's contrary to what people who do the job basically want, who should be the experts on it. So,
well, Rick, in that point, I'll tell you what, that's why I encourage all the constituents across not just my district, but the whole state of Michigan, no matter where I go, I say the same thing. Contact your representatives and your senators, write to your governor, and express your feelings, because that is the true vote of the people when we get that and we start talking to each other about what is the most basic thing that we want. And that's why I really pride myself on going around to my seven counties and doing my straw poll, talking to people one-on-one. And that's how I vote when I go to Lansing. I vote for my seven counties. I got people up here, and that's who I represent, not a party, not an idealism, my people.
Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you, Rick, and you have a great day.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.